Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Gil Alexander of A Numbers Game will join us. We will go over what a day it was in the NFL and all of the ridiculousness that occurred. Cardinals and Titans, I still can't believe what happened. And we will get to the baseball. And baseball is where we will start. I will get to the football here in a second. But going to start with the Yankees, who are one game away from elimination now after an exhilarating win against Boston. You look up and you blink, and this happens so quickly in the postseason. You go from feeling great to basically being on the brink of your season ending, and that's where the Yankees are. Run out of the building twice in Toronto. They get Monday off. They will play game three Tuesday night back in the Bronx. They need to win Tuesday, win Wednesday, and then hope to force a game five on Friday. That would be back in Toronto, but that's a long way from now. That game five in Toronto is just is a pipe dream at this point. I actually think they can get there at some point. They're way too good offensively to not hit. I feel like this is the story with them every postseason, except for last year when they had a great draw with the American League Central teams. They had Soto, which, look, Yankee fans can say whatever they want. Mets didn't make the playoffs. You miss Soto, and having the idea of having Judge, Soto, and last year's version of Stanton, and Stanton has killed them this year in the playoffs. Soto, Judge, and Stanton, every three innings, one of those guys being up or those guys getting to hit every three innings was much different than this year. Granted, it's a deeper roster, but I do think the Yankees at some point will hit better. And I don't really care about the runs they scored late against Toronto. Maybe that gets them back on track, but they did nothing in big spots in game one on Saturday, had the bases loaded, nobody out. Judge struck out with the bases loaded in a full count. Bellinger drew a walk, then a little pop out from Rice, and then Stanton got blown away by fastballs. And going back to the Red Sox series, they didn't hit. I mean, they only hit two home runs in the three games, and they were very lucky to beat what is an ordinary Red Sox team, a Red Sox team without a lot of punch, without a lot of power. If the Red Sox fielded better, which is where a lot of the Yankee runs came from, is poor defense by Boston, and ran the bases better, or one of the two, Yankees might not even be here. So it's life or death here on Tuesday night. I do think the Yankees win. I'm not looking to lay the $1.50 or so, but I've got a feeling we do go back to Toronto for game five. And you can phrase it however you want, one at a time. You still have to win three in a row. But in these short series, we say this all the time in the NBA, when you get down 2-0 and you go home for game three, you win that game three at home, and all of a sudden things feel differently. You feel better. And if the Yankees can just win on Tuesday and win in game three, you know what? Game four, you get a home game to tie up the series, and all of a sudden that confidence will be back. You feel like you have a shot to win. Now, they have played terribly in Toronto all season. They played there in that 4th of July week, got just absolutely buried, got swept. Fried was awful on Sunday, and you can't kill him too much because he's been great this year. He takes the ball, led the league in wins. He pitches well after losses, but you can't pitch worse than Fried. I mean, the game was over, 2-0. Before he could blink, it's 5-0. I mean, it felt over at 2-0, and before he could blink, it was 5-0. So, awful performance by the Yankees this weekend. I do think they'll bounce back. Series price at plus 400. I was hoping for a little more. World Series price plus 1500. I was hoping for a little more. I don't think those are worth it, even though I do think the Yankees are live to come back and win a couple games here and make this a series. Is that enough to pull the trigger? It's probably not. I think you probably just play them game by game, even though, again, minus 150, you know, Rodon against Bieber. A lot of people probably look up and say, wow, Bieber's on the Blue Jays. When did that happen? But Bieber's on the Blue Jays. Not going to be an easy game, but I think the Yankees behind Rodon, who's been good. He hasn't been great, but he's been good behind the home crowd in Rodon. I think they'll get game three and then game four. Schlittler, who knows? You're home. And if you can get both of them, you're forced to game five, and hopefully we get a little drama in that series. Two games here on Monday. Dodgers laying $1.32 to Philly. Total 7.5. And the Brewers laying $1.23 to the Cubs. I have no feel for Brewers-Cubs. I picked Brewers in five. I don't see any reason to jump off of it. And I picked Dodgers in five. I like the Dodgers part of it. I don't like the five part as much. But if Philly wins tomorrow, that's on pace for going five. So as far as a bet, I'd take Phillies plus a half a run in the first five just because I think it's a pretty even game. You're home. You're desperate. That angle doesn't matter as much in baseball, but it's enough of an even matchup where I like getting that half a run in the first five. You have to lay $1.40. I'm okay with that. I would say, boy, you wonder, Philly up 3-0. You got your ace on the mound. You have Ohtani on the ropes. Letting a team like the Dodgers off the hook, and I know the Dodgers always have nine lives and they're never dead until the game is over, but when you're up 3-0, you're home, you got your ace, you got to win that game. And they almost wiggled that out of that inning, seventh inning, when Hernandez goes the other way off Strom and hits the three-run homer to right center. And then Sasaki, it's weird for Sasaki because, you know, people that watch baseball, and he was the big-time free agent from Japan, he's this hyped pitcher, all this hype. He starts the season terribly, pitches in that Tokyo series or wherever they were back in March to start the series. He was awful, had no control. His velocity was down. He makes a handful of starts, and he's as bad as you can be. And he basically disappears for the entire season and then reemerges in the playoffs as this closer, and he's throwing 100 miles an hour. So it's just weird for you. He's bad, he disappears, and then all of a sudden here he is as a closer in big spots. And he's been big, and the Dodgers do not have a traditional bullpen. It's just they load up these starters after starters. They come in with Glasnow, and they've got Kershaw in there. They've got Sasaki as a closer. But I'll stick with Dodgers in five. I'll stick with Brewers in five, but I don't have great feels for those series. So hopefully we get a little drama as we're recording this. Tigers and Mariners are still playing, so we'll see how that plays out. But we'll get to Gil in a second, but we have to talk about the NFL. Pretty uninspiring 1 o'clock games. Broncos-Eagles was pretty good. Big test for the Eagles. It looked like they were going to have their most complete performance and win and go to 5-0. Denver rallies, a couple of touchdowns, a two-point conversion on the second one, and they take the lead. But the story of the day, one of the more improbable comebacks in a league of improbable comebacks I've ever seen, really in any sport. 21-6 Arizona is up. Titans can do nothing. Titans are basically just an automatic three and out. DeMarcado, who is going to live in infamy for a lot of people, breaks a run, looks like an 80-yard touchdown. If you could freeze it at that moment, 21-6, about to be 27-6 with an extra point, I don't know what number you would have given me that I would have bet the Titans on the money line. 200-1, 500-1. There was no reason to bet the Titans in that moment. He celebrates early. He slows down. He drops the ball, which why these idiots drop the ball, I have no idea. Even then, you know what? You're down 15. It's the fourth quarter. You're okay. All right, touchdown by the Titans. They miss the extra point. It's 9. You're still okay. Titans get a stop. They're driving. You're starting to get a little nervous if you're Arizona. You're saying, uh-oh, this can't happen, right? There's no way this can happen. An interception with under 5 minutes to go. You're good. You're fine. Interception. You got the ball. Except the kid for Arizona rolls over untouched, tries to get up. The ball squirts out. It gets kicked into the end zone. I mean, you couldn't make this up in a Madden game, anything. Kicked into the end zone, recovered by the Titans. I think most people realized at that moment, uh-oh, I might be in some trouble here. And then Arizona does something I still can't believe they did. Up two, they run it, and run it again. Third and eight, they run it into the line. There's plenty of time left. They're north of the two-minute warning. Titans have their timeout. They punt. Titans take over at their 18. They march the ball down the field, as you'd expect, and they kick a game-winning field goal. And by the way, Sly almost missed that, which would have been just a crazy turn in a crazy game. He almost pushed that right. It barely sticked in through the upright. And just one of the more improbable, I wouldn't even say improbable, impossible upsets you will ever see in the NFL. Upset, comeback, just a shocking result that Arizona blew that game. Still can't believe it happened here as we're doing this 3 hours later. So excited to talk to Gil about that. The other big takeaway for the NFL is the Ravens just look shot. 1-4, absolutely blown out. They get the Rams this week, and then they get a bye, so I'd imagine they sit Lamar out another week. If that's the case, they're going to be 1-5. I know that's not a great division, and the schedule's not that bad after that. You get Bears and Browns and Vikings. If you get to 1-5, you're basically, I mean, just do the math. You got to go 9-2 to get to 10 wins. Pittsburgh at plus 110 to win the division. I still think it's a good bet. Gave it out last week at, you know, twice that, plus 250, plus 280. I forget what the price was. I still think that's a good bet. Ravens are still at 9.5 season win totals. This defense is awful. They might have the worst defense in the league. You got a quarterback with a bad hamstring. This just looks like the year from hell for Baltimore. So Pittsburgh plus 110 to win the division is a bet for me. I don't have a great feel for Chiefs-Jags here on Monday night. Chiefs laying 3.5, and it's a great sports night with the two playoff games. Chiefs-Jags. We'll see if Gil Alexander has a pick on that game. I would lean towards the Chiefs. Chiefs just always, I don't know, them winning by margin. I know they've done it the last couple weeks. Them winning by margin is not really their style. We'll see if the Jags are for real. I know a lot of it has been, they've been crazy. I don't want to say crazy lucky, but crazy, I don't know, fortunate is another word for lucky, but they've taken the ball away. They've lived on turnovers. That, how sustainable is that? The Chiefs offense looked a lot better last week against Baltimore. Was that real, or is that just a case of Baltimore, you know, being one of the worst defenses in the league? I will say Kansas City, with Worthy back, that kid Thornton can run. They do look like they have a fast offense. Hollywood Brown, Thornton, Worthy. They all of a sudden have some guys you could throw the ball deep to with a little speed, a little juice. a little explosiveness on that offense, a dimension they haven't had the past few years. So if I had to take it or lay it, I'd probably lay it with the Chiefs, but not an inspired pick to say the least. I think that number is about where it should be. So we'll see what Gil Alexander thinks, get his thoughts on NFL baseball. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. Our next guest you can catch on a little show we call A Numbers Game, Beating the Book Megapod. It is the great Gil Alexander. And Gil, we can only laugh. It was not this past spring, but a couple springs ago, we came on, we did one of these podcasts. You were nice enough to come on after the Timberwolves shockingly beat the Nuggets in Game 7. And we were like, what the hell just happened? They went from being down 20 to winning by 20. We were just stunned at disbelief. This tops it, and we'll get into the baseball, but what Arizona did to Tennessee, or Tennessee did to Arizona, we are, I don't know, 3 hours removed, and I am still in shock. Your reaction, how are you? How's your day been?
My day has sucked beyond belief. Well, first of all, you're right. For whatever reason, I am scheduled to come on your podcast when calamities happen. And this one, as you said, takes the cake. I have lost, I've talked about this before, in 2020, the first year of Circus Survivor. Pardon my my averted eyes if these games are going on. But I lost on the Rams as a 17-point pre-flop favorite. And that was week 14. So in terms of like pre-flop numbers, that will always be the biggest. But in terms of the circumstances of what happened in a game, to lose on a Survivor entry, or entries in my case, three of them, this will, not only is it the worst of all time, it will never be topped. Because, Will, if we made up, like, you know how Todd does that fake play-by-play on the Megapod? If he came up with something as outlandish as what happened today, we would just be like, oh, that's Todd, that's hilarious. The DeMarcado touchdown run where he flips it before the goal line, as if that weren't bad enough, then an interception that gets fumbled untouched, the ball then gets kicked around and recovered in the end zone. It's just impossible that this happened. It's impossible. And you just, what can you do? What can you say? He's like, was it a bad pick? Was that? I mean, I had the Rams on Thursday too. So it's, for me, it's just, what do you got to laugh, man?
If I could freeze time as DeMarcado, as he's running towards the end zone, 15, 10, 5, looks like he's going to score. If I could freeze time right then and say, Titans, money line, 200-1, would you bet it? Would you
No.
bet it?
No. Yeah. No. In fact, it was so done. Did they just hit off? It's so done. There's a replay, sorry. That when DeMarcado was running into the end zone, I did one of those things where you're glancing at the play, but because you know what the result of the play is going to be, you kind of don't even see it through to the end, right? And then I looked back up as he's crossing the goal line, and I did see that Titans defender gaining on him. And I was worried that guy was going to catch him, which he didn't. And DeMarcado on his own, oh God, it's amazing, on his own, just decides to flip the ball up in the air. And clearly, by the replay, I mean, it was correct. He let it go before he crossed the goal line. But, like, that was just the first thing. By the way, I left out, in addition to the ridiculous interception followed by fumble stuff, 2nd and 8 and 3rd and 8 for Jonathan Gannon and the Arizona Cardinals.
Fireball.
Just running the ball into the line is the accomplice to the crime. It's the accomplice to the crime. And we were talking before, just before we came on air, your Callahan first coach fired thing now is now in such, I'm sorry to laugh, right? I'm laughing at myself. It's in such jeopardy now because this guy gets this bullshit win. Am I allowed to curse on this podcast? Sorry.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, all of the above. All of the above. Does this, now it's different because we bet and we also do stuff on the air, and it's almost a lot of times they interlap. I'm never going to give out something on the air that I don't bet. But does any of this register to you or make you consider, you know what, There's a lot of things to bet. There's baseball. There's baseball props. There's football props for you. There's tennis. There's hundreds. There's thousands of things to bet. Maybe the NFL is just not the best thing to bet. I know you've hinted at it in the past, but do you have that moment?
Without a doubt. Anybody tells you that they don't is either oblivious or they're lying, right? I mean, I said on the Survivor doc the first year, I go, none of us knows a goddamn thing. And it's really true, right? It's just, and the thing about these two, though, were it wasn't that we didn't know anything. It's that we did, and it didn't matter, right? The Rams on Thursday, the Cardinals today, just the NFL plinko from, by the way, the most incredible plinko experiences you could ever imagine. The Rams thing the other night, blocked extra point, you know, fumble on the way in by Kyren at the one. You just, at this one today, the Cardinals thing, and I just want to say it again, it's the most incredible one that is, it's the worst beat in the history of Survivor. But yes, to answer your question, yeah, the NFL is just, you do kind of do a little introspection and you're like, am I Meshuggah? Like, what am I doing? I'm betting tennis all the time, overnight, every day. The baseball playoffs are going on. You're right, there's props as well. Why wouldn't I just be content betting tennis every day and not touching this? And the answer is obviously, we love football so much that it's impossible to, but it shouldn't be, right? Because even if we just had Survivor, shouldn't that be enough to get us through the day? In an NFL Sunday, shouldn't it be? Wouldn't have been enough today, by the way, in terms of results.
But, yeah. Incredible. Stepping aside from that, anything that you feel differently about today than you did maybe going to the weekend? My takeaway in the open was, and I talked about it last week, I think you could pretty much stick a fork in the Ravens as a meaningful contender.
Done.
Maybe they sneak in the playoffs, but I still think Pittsburgh, even though it's down to +110, I still think that's a good bet for the AFC North. I don't know. Do you have any takeaways here from the Sunday overall?
It's so funny because of this Cardinals game. Like, I haven't even had a chance to think about it, but I think Baltimore's done. I think this is a lost season. They, without, they have cluster injuries, right? And I thought, by the way, silly me, it was one of my, I made Baltimore bet today. I figured, oh, this is an overreaction. Cooper Rush is going to be okay. And it was done so quickly. I don't think they can squeeze into the playoffs if they're going to, if these injuries keep players out for more than if it comes any more. I mean, it's four losses already. What is it? 0-4, only one team has ever made the playoffs. I mean, this is 1-4. It's almost that. You're trying to beat history. Philadelphia is as flawed as we thought, you know. They probably shouldn't have lost that game, but they're not a great team. Their offensive, you know, they have offensive outbursts that allow them to take leads or stay in games, but they're not a consistent offensive team. Saquon is nothing compared to last year, both in terms of their game script and just what ends up resulting. Tampa Bay feels like this. I think you might have texted this earlier. They do feel like a team of destiny. Baker's incredible in crunch time. And then we only have one winless team in the Jets. Everybody else has a win. If Buffalo loses tonight and they're down 6-3, although they're matriculating right now to try to take a lead, Buffalo's the only undefeated team as we talk right now. I don't know that there was any other big takeaway than, oh, here's my biggest takeaway. Jaden Daniels is back, and anybody who thought that they weren't good can suck it. He is a complete, the entire team, and this extends the defense, right? I don't know if you know this, Will. He does not play on defense. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. But they just play better when he's around. And he's just amazing the way that he can zip the ball, and he's always making the right decision. And that's a really big, I think, of all, I finally got around to answering your question properly. Of all the games today, that was maybe the most noteworthy of all of them. Don't get me wrong, the Chargers didn't do themselves any favors. They made mistakes here and there too, a lot of mistakes. But I think Washington's win, there's a touchdown for Buffalo. Is that a lead? Wow. Of course, after the Cardinals, nothing is safe. Early third quarter as we're doing this podcast, sorry. So anyway, I think the Washington win over the Chargers in many ways, in a very meh NFL day with really bad football games, really bad matchups, that was the most noteworthy, I think, of all of them.
Yeah, and just to go back to the Ravens for a second, they have the Rams a week from now, so Sunday, October 12th. That's in Baltimore. But let's just, I mean, that's the Rams off extra rest and the Rams off a loss. I mean, you got to favor the Rams there. If you're 1-5, and I don't think Lamar's going to play in the game because they have a bye after that, and that's just a natural, you know what, hamstring, let's give him the full time. Last thing you want to do is bring him back early. So let's just say he doesn't play. They lose that 1-5. The schedule after that is reasonable. Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals. That's not a tough schedule. The problem at 1-5. So what's
no
that,
room
six
for
games?
Error.
You got 11 left.
Yeah.
What are you going to go? You're going to go 9-2 versus the rest of the schedule. That is really asking a lot, and that only gets you to 10. 10 probably gets you in, but 9-2 gets you to 10, and 9-2 is really asking a hell of a lot.
You called it right there. You're right. Everything you just said. 1-5, assuming they do lose next week. That's, again, historically, it's almost an impossible hole to get out of.
The one saving grace is that division. You don't feel like, all right, you can count Browns, Bengals. You don't have to worry about them. If the Steelers somehow just don't fire, if something happened to Rodgers and they don't get to their 10 wins, could somebody, I don't know, I mean, could somebody steal that division to 8-9 wins? It's not impossible, but as far as being like a legitimate contender, the Ravens are pretty much shot.
And that was the other thing of it today. Like, how many truly awful teams exist in this league?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, there's so many bad teams, and it's just, I don't remember. I mean, it's like a quarter of the league sucks beyond belief. You know, and that's the eight teams. I mean, I mean, Jets, Dolphins, Panthers, Titans,
Bengals.
There's five off the top of the dome. I mean, I don't know how Giants. I don't want to put in there, but I guess they're in there. You know. Anyway, there's a bunch of them, and they suck really bad to the point where it's like you couldn't bet on them confidently in any week, no matter who they play.
Monday night game, Chiefs and Jags. Jags laying 3.5. Do you have a play on this game?
I bet the Chiefs -3 earlier in the week. I know we have a disagreement on the Megapod. I'm on the Chiefs, and then I know, is it TA and you, or TA and Todd are against me in this one?
Unfortunately for you, I am not on the Jaguars.
Damn it.
Jaguars, unfortunately, yeah, it's the bad news. Bad news for you.
No, I'm kidding.
Easy winner for you. I think it was Cleve TA who took the points, but I have to go back and look.
Yeah, but
it was
TA
at
some.
We just laughed the whole time in bus balls. At the end of it, I don't know who picked who. It's really funny.
It's, yeah, we have a blast doing it. But boy, we are reflective of how bad this year has been. No question, collectively. No lead. I know Todd thought his lead was insurmountable, but it is not. It is not insurmountable. We're, I guess, 5 weeks through a 20-week Circus Survivor, but we're 4 weeks now. I mean, it's 5 weeks. We're like a quarter of the way plus through a 17-game schedule, right? We're, you know, so it's. I really think that's the headline. We have such a bad bottom of the league. And then ultimately, is there a team before the season? The Ravens are the single, from, I guess, for the answer to the question, from the beginning of the season, from pre-flop to now, what's the biggest, what would blow our minds? Like, if we went back 5 weeks ago and said, guess what? Baltimore being 1-4 has to be the biggest headline, right? Without question, Baltimore being 1-4. People are like, what the hell happened? And then outside of that, what's the biggest surprise of all of them? That Tampa Bay is 4-1, maybe? No, not even.
There's a shocker outside.
Yeah,
the
I don't think so either. I think you're right. That's the only
one. Step further with the Ravens, not even before the season. Imagine telling someone with 4 minutes to go, week one, a month ago against Buffalo, hey, by the way, not only are they going to lose this game, but 5 weeks from now, they're going to be 1-4 of the season. What the hell could have possibly happened? There's no way they're going to lose to Buffalo. There's no, like, that's just impossible. But
Bills-Ravens
was not quite Cardinals-Titans-esque, but it wasn't too far behind. I guess everything's far behind that, but that was pretty crazy too, week one.
You're right. That, I mean, because even when they lost that, we're like, well, it's still the best team in the league. I mean, they're not going to lose that very often, right?
Baseball, do you like anything? It's the National League Day here on Monday. Dodgers, $1.30 favorites over Philly, total 7.5. Brewers look like going with an opener, Ashby to Priester after to follow against Imanaga for the Cubs. Brewers like a -120 favorite, total 8. Anything you like, anything you bet?
Dodgers pitching matchup is who is it?
Snell against Lizardo.
Snell's back, right. Snell against Lizardo. I think the Dodgers are the Dodgers, I like the value on them. I think they figured out, right? Sasaki in that closing role. they can get the starter as far as they can. They have arms that they can shift to the pen. But I'll tell you, that Teoscar homer and the way that was managed for Philly, I have Philly fans texting me like, we're done. That was it. That was it. And you know what? In a best of five, they might not be wrong. I don't have any feel for the Cubs Brewers. I haven't from the beginning. We've had, what is it now? With this game, Detroit, Seattle. So we'll call this one competitive because it has been. Two solo shots by Polanco, the difference so far in this game. But we've had six baseball games, obviously two each in the National League and then one each in the NL. Three of those six have been completely non-competitive. The two Blue Jays wins over the Yanks, and then the Brewers just crushing the Cubs yesterday. I didn't end up seeing like one pitch of either of any of those three games because I was so involved with college and pro football that by the time I got around to looking at baseball, they were done, those games. These two, now Seattle, this is a massive win because obviously with that win yesterday by Detroit, you had Skubal set up for 2-5. So if Seattle can hold on here, that's obviously like series changing because it looked like they were behind the eight ball. Now, not so much, even though still advantage Detroit with Skubal hanging around for a potential game five. But I think I think the Yankees is the most interesting one because the Blue Jays bats have just gone ballistic on them. And I did not see that coming. I've always felt the Yankees to be underrated. I'm curious to see how they bounce back in the Bronx. I have a feeling of all these series that the Detroit, Seattle, clearly, and I actually think that the Yankees, Blue Jays will go the distance.
I can't believe you're saying that because I agree with you. I would not be shocked if we're sitting here. I think it would be a game five on a Friday. It's amazing. These series are so short and you get killed and you're down 2-0, it feels over. If the Yankees just win game three, and I know you have to win game three, you have to win three in a row no matter how you phrase it, but you win game three, all of a sudden, all right, you feel good, you're home for game four, and if you can force a game five, all the pressure's back on Toronto. So, you know, winning two in a row, I mean, they did it, I know it's a different team and everything, but they did it against Cleveland in 2017 against a much better team. It's not a death sentence, so I'm not looking to lay the $1.50 or so with the Yankees on Tuesday. I think that's a little bit inflated. Yeah, I'm with you. Would you add any futures? 15-1 I'm seeing on the Yankees to win the whole thing. Is that enough to jump in? For me, it's not, even though I don't think they're dead. I was expecting a little more. I looked at that price hoping for more, but I don't know. Do you feel differently?
I don't. I mean, I wouldn't even take them to World Series, but AL being like, I guess, half that, seven, yeah. Even that, like, is that would be the one I would bet if any of them. That's of some interest to me, but there's New England goes right back up on Buffalo. That would be of some interest to me, but I wouldn't touch him to win the World Series. I just think that's the thing, is the Dodgers loom, and I don't see them getting beat, with apologies to the Phillies, who I think are the second best team in baseball.
Yeah. What a day, Gilly.
What a day. What a day, dude. What a day. That's the thing though. It's like, what do you even say? He's like, you just have to, it happened. It actually happened. Like, it's so surreal.
I could see it coming. Once the fumble happened in the end zone, I said it, because Arizona not only needed a first down, they needed two, because Tennessee had the timeouts. They had a two-minute warning, and I was actually live on the air. So you better get two first downs, because even one won't be enough. And I was shocked. My jaw almost hit the floor when they ran that ball.
Me too. Me too.
Third and eight, you're going to run it into the line. It's not even like third and four, third and five, where you get a little push and maybe you're close. Third and eight, you're just going to give up? I thought that was insane.
Let's not forget also, when it got to 21-12, Sly missed a extra point by as much as you'll ever see an extra point missed. So it was still 9 points, right? More than a one-score game. So even then gave you, like, or at least me, it gives us a bit of a false sense of comfort where I'm like, okay, well, maybe they'll still pull this out. Nope.
Incredible. Gilly, you're the best. The numbers game, Megapod, at Beating the Book, what did I miss?
Nope, you got it all. We'll bounce back. Life will go on. Yeah.
Absolutely. Gilly, appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Appreciate those reviews coming in. We will be back Wednesday to maybe wrap up the Yankee season, maybe look ahead to game four as we approach the ALCS, NLCS. Great time of the year with all the playoffs and all the football. So appreciate you guys listening. Keep those reviews coming. Apple, Spotify. See you Wednesday.